This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog, relative to a couple of cases dealing with DWI and the way that the lack of disciplinary action occurred. Skip, welcome to the show.
Morning. How you doing? Well, afternoon. How are you doing?
So, Skip, tell us about these cases.
These are two that are pretty egregious, where the officers clearly tried to influence the officer that pulled him over, got argumentative, pointed at a passenger in both cases, saying the other person was a driver, although there was plenty of evidence to suggest that they were the drivers. Both finally admitted that they were at different points the driver. But in just one of the officers' cases, I counted six different reasons why this was improper in their own investigation. The story continually changed if you read through their PIV investigation. I wasn't driving the vehicle. I don't remember the event. I had a COVID vaccine. A friend of mine died. Improper investigation. My drink was spiked. All of those came in just one investigative report. It seems like you're trying to nail down someone that it really knows the tricks of the trade and is trying to get out of this. And I think if you were able to watch the entire videos, you would see something that where officers are treated quite preferentially when something like this happens. Very much different than, say, you or I.
I actually saw the videos. I read the PIB reports that you provided for me as well. And what really kind of struck me in the report is at the end of the report, there was, findings made as to what violations they were of SOP, within the department. And but no recommendation as it related to disciplinary action. They were placed on administrative duty, and I found the whole report just void of, okay, so they are guilty of the following, but no recommendation. I found
yes.
That odd. I mean, having handled every internal affairs complaint from 1995 through 2007, before I became sheriff, they all came across my desk for my review, and there would never be this type of report that would go up without a recommendation for disciplinary action.
And it used to be routine that if an officer was found had committed a DWI, it's a criminal offense and they were dismissed. And that makes a lot of sense. You can imagine if you're a bus driver or an ambulance driver, if you have a DWI in your background, you've lost your job or you don't get that job. And we have officers now that once they're in these programs or once they're in these diversion programs that they're often cycled into, they can't be an officer for a while. They're not allowed to have a gun. They're not allowed to be in uniform, and they're not allowed to drive a vehicle. And we now have these sort of lame duck officers with a criminal background who, again, if you read these reports, even the reports state that the officers weren't found to be credible. meaning their own statements were contradictory and contradicted their own statements. And as you're familiar with administrative hearings on officers, you're required to be honest, and the penalty is dismissal from your job. And yet both these officers are still employed at the NOPD.
We at JPSO gave officers second chances in some cases, but never where they didn't readily admit from the very beginning that they had violated the law. Never when they treated the investigating officer in a bad way. And more importantly, that they were honest throughout the process and did not lie. You know, interesting here in one of these cases, when interviewed in the aftermath of going through the diversion program and everything else, the investigative officer, and appropriately so, asked the officer that was under investigation, "Were you drunk?" And even though he knows that his blood alcohol content was 0.15, almost twice the legal limit, he said no. And one of the conditions of being in diversion is that you have to admit that you are in fact guilty of driving while intoxicated. But even months after he had completed the diversion program, he still adamantly, within the confines of the NOPD investigation, denies being drunk. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to me to be more remarkable than anything that I've ever seen, because he's been given the second chance through the diversion. He's given the second chance through the course of this investigation by being administratively reassigned, and still, almost, I think it was almost a year after the incident, says, "I wasn't drunk."
Yes. And again, these two.
And by the way, state troopers are not my peers. I mean, what do you do with that individual who's now working inside a department where state troopers are actually working side by side with these people each and every day? And he doesn't consider them, you know, law enforcement. That I thought was a very troubling happenstance here, that no one made the observation and connected the dot during the course of the investigation of what is required in diversion and what this officer is actually saying after he completed diversion, that I wasn't drunk.
Yes. And if you get to see the entire video, and it's substantial, one of the officers continues to repeatedly swear and degrade the state trooper repeatedly over and over and over again. It is so abusive. And so I've read the state trooper's report of him pulling the officer over, and it is very it's very pleasant. He was very forgiving of that NOPD officer, even though he was really harshly treated and had to really call in help from Jefferson Parish to make sure that, you know, keep everything under control, because the officer was barely in control. But some of the statements that he made.
So what's the reaction been from NOPD? I know that you've asked, you know, of them, what is the policy here? Where are they going? I mean, any response? Why don't we do this? Hold that. Let us get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. And we left off, Skip, wondering whether or not there's been any response to the story that has been done on these two cases from the NOPD.
You know, one of the interesting points that brings up, and if your listeners are interested, you can go see this. David Hammer reported on this on WWL-TV. But one of the officers managed to go from a very reasonable pay of $74,000+. And the next year, his pay was $243,000. He clearly didn't suffer financially and doesn't seem that it's hindered his career significantly. even last year, his compensation was over $233,000. When you have officers like this that certainly don't bring credit to the force, how is the compensation justified here? I think most people would be pretty shocked to know that we have officers that are pushing $250,000 in compensation. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Was that details included, or was that just overtime?
That does include details. In the particular case, there were about $40,000 in details and $203,000 in NOPD time for the year 2023. So, in the following year, it was $209,000 in 24 in NOPD time, and then $23,000 in details for a total of $233,000 in 2024.
So there had to have been a lot of overtime in that number then, right?
There could be, or it could also be Lakeview details, or because those are embedded into NOPD time, Lakeview details, Mid-City details, or French Quarter Task Force time. But the numbers are pretty outstanding. And in 2023, he was among the top 10 highest paid officers in the NOPD. A year after he basically got off his diversion program. You just have to wonder what kind of oversight is going on there, that where you have a problem officer. And just one of his statements, that one of the officers made as he was being arrested is basically referring to the state trooper. He says, "Before he leaves Gretna, I'll be out." Meaning, you know, he's going to pull some strings and he'll be out of jail.
There were a number of statements involved through that whole process that were somewhat problematic, disrespectful, and otherwise. I don't know. It would seem to me that somebody in NOPD administration, it would have called attention. There would have been some attention paid to that. One of the cases was resolved under Superintendent Sean Ferguson. The other one under Interim Superintendent Michelle Woodfork. And just is emblematic of a bigger issue. I'm kind of curious whether or not this would still go on, but one of them was resolved in 2023, I think, if my memory serves me correct. We got to get to a break. I apologize, Skip. We've run out of time. We're visiting with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. We'll have you back on, Skip. We got to get to a break, though. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot. Stay with us.